Today on Real Life Radio.
Satan wants you with him in hell forever because of one reason. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. And Satan hates that offer of eternal life and forgiveness and salvation. He wants you destroyed.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in the Why series with a message called, Why is Sex and Sexuality So Important to Our Identity? From the skeptic who doubts what the Bible says is true to the Christian who wants to confirm what they believe, the Why series will both challenge and equip us on how to respond to universal questions we all face in life. And when it comes to sex and our sexuality, God takes this issue very seriously. The Bible is very clear about our gender identity, and to disagree with the Lord in this area is to reject his divine authority. By design, God's plan and purpose for our lives was lovingly put into place before we were ever born. Why, then, is there so much confusion regarding our identity? So, in this part of the message today, Pastor Jack tells us that the confusion about gender identity does not come from God or even from science, but people all around the world are now questioning their identity and deciding what's right in their own eyes. And now in his message called, Why is Sex and Sexuality So Important to Our Identity? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
You can grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2 this evening as we continue on in our Why series. Church, I don't know if you realize this or not, but we started the Why series and immediately our online attendance went from about 45, 50,000 people on a Wednesday night to, in these last 4 weeks, 150, 160, 175,000 people on a Wednesday night because of this topic. Because of this topic, I told you last week that it has generated more emails and letters and calls to this church than any other message or topic in the history of this fellowship. And it exposed to us a broken world of heartbreak, bruised and battered lives, people living in the shadows, even under the roof of their own homes, and even in their own marital relationships. And my hope is that God brings healing to the lives affected. And I think in some way, shape, or form, all of us are affected. And tonight we're going to be looking at, in our Why series, why is sex and sexuality so important to our identity? What's going on in the world around us? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 addresses this, starting there. There the Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man, that is Adam, should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable, either way, to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. You know, I love that. Chemically, biologically, that's a fact. Did you know that, what I just read a moment ago? If you're a scientist tonight, you'd say, yeah, well, that's a fact. And brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Isn't that interesting? All the animals had partners, Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe, Mr. and Mrs. Monkey. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed it up, the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, that is Adam, he made into woman. And he brought her to the man, and Adam said, I love this, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. It's awesome that Adam knew that instantly. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Sex and sexuality in light of our identity today. There's a lot of talk, obviously. It's a topic that a friend of mine who's a chaplain to the United Nations works in New York City there. And he's so kind. He's always invited me to go there and minister with him to the nations. He says in one day, he visits anywhere from 100 to 135 nations a day at the UN. You know you can do that. When you go from one room to another, you're going to one sovereign nation to the next. Goes in there and asks them for prayer. Goes in there and asks them if they'd like to hear the Bible read. And by the way, by far, most national ambassadors there, international ambassadors, want the Bible read to them. They want prayer. That's amazing. Yeah, hands down, by far. Very, very few people reject. But the topic and the issues that are discussed there, most of them, he said to me, everything is preempted, no matter what it is. If it's feeding people in Ethiopia, if it's a looming war in some part of the world, everything is preempted by the topic we're talking about tonight. It seems so strangely out of place, but I want to submit to you tonight that we're living in an age that is a harbinger of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living at a time that is unique in all of human history. And I'm not just saying that because we're here. There are things happening in the world simultaneously that have never happened before on a grand scale. And yet this one topic drives national and international debates. So I just want you to know, as we read that a moment ago in Genesis, that God takes the issue of sex and sexuality really seriously. And you may be surprised to hear that it's not for religious purposes that God takes this topic so seriously. God is very clear regarding gender identity in the Bible. And to disagree with God in this area is to reject the authority of God, frankly. His design, his plan, his purpose that God has made. Everything I read, you read with me a moment ago in Genesis, is all preloaded with information. A male and a female coming together produces life. God says there's a female bird and there's a male bird. There's a female animal with four legs and there's the male version of it. And just me saying this tonight has been completely normal for about 5,000 years until recent days or weeks or months. Why? What's happening? I want to submit to you tonight that what we're talking about is a global issue. It's happening universally around the world at the exact same time. I do not believe it's because of social media. I am convinced it's because it is a last days manifestation of doctrines of demons and evil forces trying to destroy people who have been created in the image of God, and Satan will do anything to destroy the human soul. And he doesn't care one bit about your feelings and about your rights or your freedom. Satan wants you dead. Body, soul, and spirit. Satan wants you with him in hell forever because of one reason. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. And Satan hates that offer of eternal life and forgiveness and salvation. He wants you destroyed. And I want you to think about that tonight. To reject God's plan of sex and sexuality is to reject God's authority. Somebody sent me this little story. It's very cute. I loved it. And I'll read it to you. A little boy, Billy, asked his mom and dad, "Where did I come from?" The parents knew that this day would eventually come, so they sat Billy down and gave him the talk from A to Z. And when they had finished, Billy appeared completely baffled. And he looked up at his parents and said, "I'm not sure about all that stuff, but my friend Johnny says he came from Chicago, and I want to know where I came from." Can you you imagine? Oh, gosh. But that's a great example for us parents tonight, because kids need to know. And kids need to be told about God's plan, God's plan scientific, God's plan is proven, and God's plan works. And God says, I've made humankind male and female. I must say, leave it to the Christian community, unfortunately, to mess things up, though, when it comes to sex and sexuality. The historical church has tended to play down sex and sexuality, even within marriage. I think you all know that. It probably reached a height in the Puritan age. It's when the church allowed what is called Platonism to creep in, or Christo-Platonism. Platonism, based on the teachings of Plato, is that things that are physical are wrong. That the true essence of what is pure is spiritual, not physical. Now listen, everybody. There's people that believe this today. It's a form of Gnosticism. That if it's physical, it's wrong. And the Puritans really adopted that kind of Platonism, which was, if it brings you pleasure, it's wrong. If it's physical, it's wrong. But they had a hard time reconciling what the Bible has to say. And so they battled with themselves culturally. Now, we've taken it on the other side in our world, in our culture, and the pendulum swings from wide to one side or the other. But notice what God says a moment ago in the scripture, that he made male and female. We're talking about physical creation. Church, listen up. When God said, I made these things, he's talking about physical creation. He really made a cow. He really made a dog. He really made Adam. He really made Eve. These were physical things that you could touch. Are you with me? And God said at the end of it all, when he was all done making it, what did he say? Boy, did I make a mistake. No, he said, it is very good. So we do not believe in Platonism or Christo-Platonism, which is the Christianized version of, oh, if it's physical, it's wrong. No. God has given us our bodies to celebrate in the confines or the construct of his order. It's very well defined by God. Why? So that you might have an awesome life. But we have dueling philosophies in the world around us today. And I think the church has failed to address the topics that we're talking about tonight. The church just sweeps it under the carpet while the culture takes the center stage, and the church doesn't have a response, so the church sits silent, and then people within the church, because the pulpits are silent, begin to acquiesce or to embrace an aberrant sexuality. Because no one's speaking up for what God's design is. Just remember this, God's design is great and he loves it and it's awesome. Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 says, then God saw that everything that he had made physically indeed was very good. So tonight we're going to be looking at this. Regarding sexual identity, gender identity, we're just going to be answering this one question tonight. Where does all the confusion come from? Are any of you involved in medicine or nursing? Raise your hand. Are any of you nurses, doctors, chemists, biologists, something along those lines? Any of you first responders? Raise your hands if you're, first responders, great. Listen, there are certain aspects of your education from one end to the other that is very, very important that you understand what is known as science. Science has to be something which is not theory. Science cannot, listen, if it's a theory, it's a theory. It's not scientific. If you're going to go by the actual definition of science, it's that which is reproducible and found to be proven. That's why evolution is still a theory. It's never been proven. And so for those of you who are chemists or biologists or physicians or nurses or maybe paramedics or whatever, there's a science to what you do. And you can't waver. If you waver off of this science, you can kill someone. Why all the confusion now regarding gender identity? What's happening? Where has it been? Why now? Why the confusion? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. Listen, this is science. Then God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." Did you hear that? Did everybody hear that? Be fruitful and multiply. Who is to be fruitful and multiply? Man, right. I heard both mankind, which is men and women, or in this case, Adam and Eve, and then all of us who have come from them. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and everything living that creeps on the earth. This is God's design. And then real quick, a few more. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, and Genesis 4, verse 1. And you ask yourself now, especially with what I'm going to share with you, is this scientific? "And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed." Chapter 4, verse 1. "Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived." Stop right there. You see the word "knew"? You're going to be, I think, blessed by this. The word "knew," Adam knew Eve. There's no instruction given in the Bible. We have no information that God said, "Now Adam, this is what you do with Eve. Eve, this is what you do with Adam." It is, listen to me, this is going to sound foreign, but it's worked for 5,000 years. Without the California Comprehensive Sex Education, it's worked for 5,000 years. And it is this. Adam saw Eve and went, "Wow." And God didn't have to say to him, now look, Adam, look to the chalkboard right here, starting here. No, you know what? They discovered each other. They didn't need a book. They didn't need a teacher. They didn't need anything like that. Part of the incredible joy was them figuring it out. Because we've been created in the image of God, God has placed it within you to know what to do. And yes, let's be honest, first time together, husband and wife, it's clumsy, it's funny, you laugh, and then this and that, and it's part of your bonding. It's part of the experience. It's wonderful. Adam knew Eve, and the word "knew" in Hebrew is yada, Y-A-D-A. You say, why do we care? Because when the Bible says in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God," that's the word yada. Be still and meet me face to face. Listen, the word means this: to meet me face to face and to see me in it. Be still and know that I am God in your situation. Meet me face to face, and if you do, you're going to know that I'm in all of your life's dealings. And isn't it interesting that God uses the exact same word for intercourse for Adam and Eve? Face to face, you know, humans do it face to face. No, listen, I'm not. God said that in the Bible. Why? Because there, and we don't have the time to get into it. No, we don't. I would love to, though. The eyes, the brain, the face to face, the process is literally science. There's a reason for it. God says, "You deal with me, you deal with me face to face, and you and I will have a relationship, and all of your life's dealings, you will discover more and more about me." And the same is true regarding marriage. The same is true regarding monogamy. You might say, "Well, I'm not a Christian tonight." Okay, monogamy still works. You're still the same biological creation of God. But how could Adam have known what to do without California's help? Well, he did, because God made us. See, if you're an evolutionary animal, then maybe you do need help. But you're not. And listen, a man knows what to do, and he gets better at it, And she knows what to do, and she gets better at it, and it's called a relationship. This is the life experience of a husband and a wife, and it's part of the bonding that keeps them together till death do they part. It's a miracle. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's fantastic. But I got to tell you, listen, the Bible limits sexual experiences and expression. There's no doubt about that. To one man and one woman in the context and the bonds or the binding of marriage. And it's this conjugal union that God has established for pleasure, emotional stability. Did you know that? Physical health. You know, people who are married and stay monogamous live longer than those that do not? Did you know that? Did you know that their immune systems are stronger by monogamous sex one with another? Did you know that? They're healthier people. Remarkable. Psychologically, suicide rates among married people are much lower than unmarried people. On and on it goes. But it's for creation and propagation, not just pleasure. As far as scientists can tell us, they say that only humans are the only ones who have sexual relationship for pleasure. Did you know that? So I don't know, man, my dog's pretty crazy. Your dog, that's a dog. It is a reproductive action of a dog. It's just pure biology for a dog. Reproduction. Humans, God has blessed us with this gift to create a family. You know, you currently live in the United States of America. How did that happen? Because a nation was created. How did that happen? Because communities were created. Well, how did that happen? Because families were created. How did that happen? Because two people got together. That's how it happened. It's science. This is why God, he's not confused. Why are we confused? We're confused because, church, listen, there's an agenda. There's an agenda to deceive and to destroy the human being. And the Bible warns us that you and I are living in a world that is not the world that you and I see, as we've talked about before, but there's a spiritual world at war. There's a spiritual agenda to attack God and God's plan.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Why is Sex and Sexuality So Important to Our Identity? Thanks so much for being here today. And you know, this message, Why is Sex and Sexuality So Important to Our Identity, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a group of specific messages that tackle the tough questions of life. And together, we will discover the answers found in the Bible, our amazing roadmap towards our meaning and purpose for living. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, it's built into our DNA to want to know what happens in the future. It's why people spend millions each year on psychics and fortune tellers. But for the Christ follower, we can rest in the fact that our future is in God's hands. Did you know that the Bible is filled with prophecies that have already come to pass? But the most exciting part is there are some that have not happened yet that God wants us to know about. That's why Pastor Jack takes the prophetic word found in Scripture so seriously. And it's how we can know the Bible is true. And in that light, we're excited to tell you about the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference. It'll be hosted by our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs through our exclusive live stream pass. The conference is live on Saturday, September 11th, and for only a $5 purchase, you'll have the ability to see pre-recorded teachings and backstage access with all the speakers. So get your streaming pass right away, or to find a church nearby you that's hosting the conference, simply visit our website. That's at beholdhecomes.org. One more time, beholdhecomes.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.